Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer.
Hello and welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. We're going to lead off by saying how much Daryl Grove, who died last week of cancer, has meant to us. The co-host of the Total Soccer Show was, as we all know, probably the most comforting voice in the American soccer media landscape. He was smart, quick-witted, warm, kind, and reasonable, and he really did understand soccer. He was also a champion, not in the sense of necessarily lifting trophies, although I'm sure he did lift some trophies in his time, but in the sense that he championed the work of others. He championed Scuffed when it was just a newsletter and promoted our podcast a lot. I don't think we would have gotten the traction we did without him, even though he could have seen us as a competitor. And he championed the work of many others, Travis Clark, Joe Lowry, Jordan Angeli, the guys at The Athletic. Those are the ones that come to mind right off the top of my head. He helped others by lifting them up, which is such a rare quality and a good example for us to follow.
Yeah, the outpouring of love for Daryl and Taylor and their families, and sort of how consistent the theme of the responses were, that hello and welcome being sort of the signature opening of the show. And Daryl really made so many people feel so welcome, and it was always with love. You know, it can be easy in the media game to kind of weaponize divisiveness, you know, for engagement or for whatever else. But that's so obviously not what Daryl was about.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to miss Daryl a lot, and I think we'll all kind of carry that big, warm hello and welcome with us.
Yeah. So, yeah, our best wishes to Taylor and Daryl's family and Taylor's family. And so let's get on with the show. Today we're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team roster for the November friendlies in Europe, which we believe is still on the schedule, despite the continuing pandemic. I hope it's still on the schedule.
I mean, so far from what I've seen, what's at question is whether there will be a second game, and we're working towards getting Panama in London. So playing Panama, I believe, Craven Cottage in London.
Yeah, that'd be really cool if we could have two games of data to look at. Whoa. One real quick piece of housekeeping. Before we get to that, we want to thank our patrons on Patreon. We've seen a lot of longtime listeners sign up to support the podcast, and that is incredibly helpful. And not to put too fine a point on it, but if it has occurred to you to support us there and you haven't yet, please do so. It's easy to find us on patreon.com/scuffedpod, and we're producing exclusive videos such as they are on Mondays and Fridays. People do seem to be enjoying them, at least some people. So enough of that. The roster.
I think people really enjoy the Adam Bells hair length watch.
Yeah, it was long. Now it's normal. It's
all right. There's the update.
Yeah. The roster. Where do we start, Greg?
All right. So it's kind of wild because it was rumored that it was going to be a sort of European only roster. But now lately we've seen sort of these updates coming in that MLS is going to be changing or has changed their re-entry quarantine process,
right?
Which would allow players who go play in this European window to make it back in time to play in the first round of the MLS playoffs, which now I'm actually going to have to review to see which teams participate in the first round of MLS playoffs, because I believe like four teams from each division bypass that round of playoffs.
Oh man, you're beyond my level of expertise.
But I guess what we're going to be operating under the assumption of is MLS players are available, but I feel like there might be some deference given to their clubs, or they might only be called up in certain situations. So it might be that a first choice player or first choice in the 23, I guess, might be left off, even though they might be called up under other circumstances. How's that?
That sounds good. I mean, I guess the issue is like there are so many possibilities for this camp if everybody is available, that and there's technically no constraint on Berhalter. He can call as many people as he wants. So how are we gonna sort of winnow it down here?
So what we're gonna do is we're just gonna go with, for our episode, for our purposes, we're gonna go with three goalkeepers, four fullbacks, five center backs, six center mids, four wingers, and I know that those definitions can get a little fluid, and three sort of out and out forwards.
Okay, I like it just because
that's what we're...
I like it just because it gives us some constraints to work under. Otherwise, I'd say like basically bring in everybody who's U.S. eligible in Europe.
Right. Again, there's not a ton of time to work with the group, so bringing in a ton of guys sort of defeats the purpose. It can not just have diminishing returns, but actually actively hurt what you're trying to accomplish. And keep in mind, there are a lot of first choice, like real first choice players who have barely played for Greg Berhalter. So, if you're thinking about what the priorities might be, Greg Berhalter introducing himself and shaking hands with some of these guys is actually like the priority.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay. So let's start with striker. You get to pick three. Why don't you pick your three first and then we'll see.
All right. In classic Velasquez fashion, I'm even in this exercise, I'm not committing to a true three. I'm going to say Josh Sargent is in. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say, give me any two of Gioacchini. Sorry. I shortened him to Gio and got mixed up with Reyna. So Gioacchini, Sebastian Soto, or Aaron Johansson. Any two of those guys is fine. It'd be nice. It would have been really nice if we'd had an October window, so we could have looked at a couple of those guys in that one with Sargent and then looked at a couple of the other ones in this window with Sargent, but we don't have that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I agree with you on Sargent, and I am kind of with you in being unclear on the second two after that, because a lot of players would make me happy to see. I'll focus on Johansson because, if you do go back and watch some of his clips.
I do.
He is the one striker among many in Europe who is playing in a way where he gets a lot of touches. You'll pull up Novakovic or Haji Wright or Sebastian Soto even, and they're getting like 10, 15 touches a game. I don't know if that's just a function of the style they're playing or what, but Johansson's touching the ball like 30 times. He's dropping really deep for Hammarby, almost as a number 10 sometimes, and he gets involved. He gets really involved, and he's real nice to watch on the ball.
He's real clean, isn't he? He's just a very tidy, efficient combination player.
And in addition to that, he is ruthless in the box. If you watch his goals this season, what he's doing, I mean, he's got 3 penalty kick goals out of 10. So on the other 7, I'd say like 5 out of the 7, what he's doing is he's just eating a back post defender for breakfast.
Yeah, real sneaky, right?
Yeah. He'll see that the ball is coming down the other flank, and then boom, he is in to that space. He's got that space sealed off, and then tap in.
Yeah, it's his movement in that regard is I'm going to say Zardes-esque.
Very Zardes-esque. I mean, I had that exact same thought. He's kind of like Zardes, but slower and with better touch, better first touch.
And I'll just throw out there, since I'm sure I'd be considered a Zardes hater or Zardes critic, before the MLS season even resumed, we were on record pointing Zardes out as a player who had that elite ability in the box. His movement in the box is what I would call elite within our pool. Yeah. Zarda is not included for either of us in this case, and for me that's just a function of we have guys that we need, kind of might want to explore in Europe, and we'll have all of the January camp to bring Zardes back in, and it's just to leave him at home with his club. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he is included, and it's Zardes and Sargent and one of these guys that we're talking about, and the other one's just maybe Berhalter just feels like we're fine without them.
Yeah, and then Zardes is one player who doesn't need to meet Berhalter and shake hands with him. He spent a lot of time with Greg with 3 G's. So my list is Sargent, Soto, Sebastian Soto, and Aaron Johansson. I talked about Soto in my Patreon video earlier this week. He had a very, very good game for Telstar over the weekend. Like, just looked absolutely confident receiving the ball. With his first touch was so nice, and they scored 2 goals. One of them was a golazo, I think it's fair to say. A full volley on a looping ball from the left wing over to the right back post. And then he scored on a header, did well to redirect a very driven cross into the top right corner, totally unstoppable. But I thought he looked really good in all facets of the game over the weekend. So there you go. Soto's my guy. It does hurt me to leave off Novakovic and Haji Wright at this point because they're both doing good things. And if they were all called in, that'd be great for me, you know, including Zardes. But like, go ahead. You were going to say something?
Well, just this is where it'd be so nice to have a world without so many external issues, we could comfortably have a U23 camp, and some of these guys we could get our exploration done in the U23 setting, rather than literally just having like the 1.5 or whatever it is 1 week to work with the guys and be so limited that you just can't, because we still need to look at Sargent. Sargent hasn't played a great game under Greg Berhalter. We still need to see if he can do that. So he's still the priority probably. And then it's just like with this, whatever time you have left, let's take a look at some of these other interesting cases.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Johansson came in and just blew Sargent out of the water.
He's got that guile, right? Like Johansson has this guile and he has it all over the field. So while we can praise Jazzy Zardes for his movement in the box, Johansson has this sort of same like three-dimensional understanding all over the field and the technical chops to sort of let him succeed within it. I don't know if his athleticism is going to hold up.
Yeah, that's an issue
outside of Sweden. It'd be cool to see. It'd be interesting to see him play.
There was this one play in his most recent game where he was standing at the edge of the box and he received a ball with his back to a winger who was overlapping behind him on the left wing. And he just kind of touched it with the inside of his boot and it kind of like curled around the defender behind him right into the path of the winger. It didn't result in anything, but my reaction and the reaction of the commentators was like, you know?
I think I saw that same play because I think it was one of the first actions of a game. So it came up first on his list, and he just has that ability to sort of do those things that are easy on the eye.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot on strikers when Josh Sargent is going to get all the minutes and Zardes is going to get called up anyway.
It's a fun position to talk about. I have Joe Kini as a winger, by the way. So we'll get to that in a second.
Cheater.
Yeah, because I do want to see him. So who are your wingers? You get to pick four according to your own rules. You gonna break them again?
Yes, I am. No, this is where we're getting into the fluidity of positions. And I've been going back and forth with some people on the online, and it's about like where guys are setting up. So even though I'm again going to call Gio Reyna a winger here, he is not going to play winger. So he's going to the one like sort of staple of Greg Berhalter's coaching and tactics is that we play with a front five. And if you go back and look at an old Athletic article from Michael Cox, he points out how basically all the top teams are playing with front five and have been for a while now. And it's going to that sort of classic training pitch diagram where the field's divided up into five lanes. And you need one attacker high up in each of those five lanes. So when we talk about Gio Reyna and where he fits, what I'm talking about here is Gio Reyna. We're going to have a striker in the central lane just as a starting position. And then in the lanes just on either side of that striker is where I think Greg Berhalter is going to deploy our wingers in his sort of system that he's going to be trotting out. That's what he did in February against Costa Rica with Yanez and Areola. And I think that's what he's going to do in his next game. And I think it's going to be with Pulisic and Reyna as our starting sort of inverted wingers who take the central channel half spaces in that front five.
Yeah. I co-sign all of that.
So
it is a common source of confusion when we talk, like not just us, other people who say on Twitter that Reyna should be a winger, because people are like, Reyna a winger? You know, he shouldn't be he's a central midfielder. Well, he will essentially be a central midfielder in this setup.
Yeah, we'll be playing a front three, and Berhalter's referred to that since that Costa Rica friendly, being excited about playing a front three with a midfield that will chase in and clean up behind them. And it doesn't seem to me like Reyna would be a player that you'd want doing all the cleaning up and chasing. You'd want him in the front three. So that's how I've got him listed here is a winger, but basically just think of him as a front three player with Pulisic and the striker.
Yeah. You need some lunch pail guys in behind him.
Right. And then for his backup, I have for the backup wingers, then I've got Tim Weah, who I think can easily do the Reyna job. We'll see if he gets any run out this week. They have a Europa League game Thursday and then a league game on the weekend. And then I put Jordan Morris on here, though I could see him being left out and just being left with Sounders. And I can kind of get into Morris's role, but if Morris plays, he won't. I don't think he'll be an inverted winger. I think that'd be a silly way to use him. I think you use him as more of a sideline hugging winger. And then I think you'd play a stay-at-home left back. So this would be if they rotate Pulisic and Morris.
Yeah, and so just real quick, if they do that and you have a stay-at-home left back and then Morris on the wing, who fills the left channel spot in the front five aforementioned? So
I've got two ways you could do it. You could do Sergiño Dest, and you'd start him at left back. But in the attack, he goes up and plays as like a 10, which he has done quite a bit. He did that often enough for Ajax. Even within a game, he would have several roles where he'd play in that channel, in that half space. Sometimes he would go around the attackers and play more of the sideline hugging wide attacker. But he's so versatile that you can do so many different things with him. He's played as the underlapping left back for the U.S. against Uruguay. That's my short answer. You could also bring along Tim Ream, who I have as our backup left back, and play Tim Ream as a stay-at-home left back behind Jordan Morris. And then just play one of your attacking mids, like a Sebastian Legette type, in the half space in the attack.
Okay. Or you could do that. Put Reyna into the midfield actually, which seems like a distinct possibility. And then he could be that guy. All right. Well, I have the same four, except trade out Morris for Nico Gioacchini. I really think we got to see him in camp. And I'm just cheating because he really is a striker, but he does play on the wing for Khan. I don't have anything against Morris. I just think why not just leave him at home in the middle of a pandemic?
Sure.
And let him get ready for the playoffs with Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle obviously got burned the last time we had an international window with Rui Diaz contracting COVID-19 and missing. I don't know what he missed for Seattle, but. He's made quite a difference already in his return to action.
The other omission is Ulianes here. Besides, I mean, that's the omission among the wingers, I think. And that's just because Giannis isn't making any waves right now. I haven't been able to see how he played yesterday in the KMVB Cup, but his previous outings were not those of a highly influential player for Heerenveen in the Eredivisie.
Yeah, if Morris is left home, I would be fine bringing Giannis as Pulisic's backup because Giannis played that position in January and acquitted himself well enough that even though he's not doing much with Heerenveen at the moment, I'd be fine based on his prior U.S. men's national team performance to bring him in again.
Yeah, I'd be fine too.
There are other guys, so like Conrad De La Fuente, I feel like people are going to ask about Emmanuel Sabi, Richie Ledesma, Bells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he would fit that job pretty well, I think. I think I'm fine with my four. I was just thinking about how much we dodged a bullet with Conrad De La Fuente not making his debut for Barcelona yet. We left him off our last top 40. Oh, thank my lucky stars.
Tyler Boyd is not on our four wingers list. Does that merit any conversation?
No, I don't think so. Okay, we're going to get to the rest of the positions, but we would like to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Manscaped. Last 2 weeks ago, we told you in some personal detail about the handy, elegant electric ball trimmer. This week, so you know all about that, it's a really good ball trimmer. This week, the deodorizer, I want to mention.
As ball trimmers go.
Yeah. Yeah, better than the Oster that I used to use. Have you tried the deodorizer yet? There's no wrong answer here. Just making conversation.
I haven't.
Okay. I highly recommend you try it. It's nice. Okay. It's kind of this cool lotion that dries almost instantly. And it has some instructions on where exactly to put it. And I have noticed
those instructions. you need to actually purchase the product to get that particular detail.
Well, you put it on your balls is what you do. And I have noticed an improvement when it comes to my smell game down there. You know, like a few, like a few, a few hours later. Seriously, it's this is
just
a problem
for everyone's sake,
that needs
I'm
to be
gonna
solved.
Say that it goes from that you went from a neutral to a pleasant.
Yeah, I mean that's generous. Anyway, I do think it surprises me that it's so cool that it's such a helpful product. I would never have thought of that, but it's called the Crop Preserver, and it's a deodorant in kind of lotion form. So, get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code SCUFFED, SCUFFED, at manscaped.com, and thank you to them for sponsoring today's episode. As Greg so aptly once said, manscaping is no different than anything else in soccer. You're going to get your best performance with a well-manicured surface.
There we go.
Had to steal that from you. Okay, center midfielders.
Okay, central midfielders. You go first now. We're flipping it.
Okay, I'm going to go with Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Sebastian Legette, Darlington Nagbe, Dwayne Holmes, and Brendan Aaronson.
Okay. Darlington Nagbe is not happening, Bells. Darlington Nagbe is not going to fly to Europe and leave his family in the middle of this pandemic for a U.S. men's national team getaway. But I respect the choice.
All right. How about let's replace him with his teammate, Aiden Morris.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I guess the obvious replacement for him is Jackson Ewell, which is going to happen, right?
Unless they don't want to mess with the MLS stuff, because San Jose, I believe, is still battling for a playoff spot.
Good grief, are they really?
Yeah, and I guess they'd still be able to play their last game and then leave. I don't know, but they'd definitely be, he'd miss all of their training build up to their first round playoff game, and I'm pretty sure they would play in a first round playoff game if they make it. But yes, I have the exact same midfielders as you with Sebastian Ewell, or I'm sorry, with Jackson Ewell instead of Darlington Nagbe.
Okay.
And I think I have Aaronson in because one of the things I take into consideration is guys availability for January camp. So if these MLS guys could play in the January camp, then you could essentially punt your data collection on them until then. Aaronson will not be available for the January camp because he will be moving to Salzburg. So I imagine Berhalter would take this chance to see him if it's possible. And I've seen sort of some whisperings that Aaronson and Mark McKenzie might be in line for call-ups.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I really just want to see an Adams, McKennie, Legette midfield. And I know you kind of want to see something, or at least you're open to seeing something different than that. But that's what I want to see. And the rest of the call-ups don't matter that much to me. I mean, if Ledesma happens to sneak in for some reason, fine by me. I can't think of anybody else who we need to see.
No,
we don't
not
need to see Ledesma, to be honest.
I can't believe I left Kenny Seff out of my winger discussion. I just saw his name on my list. If Morris doesn't show up, we're bringing Kenny Seff.
Okay.
All right. Midfielders, no. Alfredo Morales, I believe, has been injured for the last couple of months. I wouldn't expect that he'll be ready. Julian Green is one that I could see if Ewell is left in the States, or Legette or Aaronson. I wouldn't mind seeing Julian Green just again as sort of a curiosity. But I've watched his stuff. He's a real tidy player, but I don't think he adds any real oomph. And I don't think he's particularly like an elite ground covering pressing center mid. He's just a nice cog in a possession machine, but I wouldn't miss him not being around.
It is kind of fun to see. You see this with Green a little bit. You see it with Haji Wright. You see it with some other players. You see them as they get older, they really do kind of round out a little bit. I don't mean just physically, but in terms of the way they play. And I don't know, maybe that's just me watching Aaron Johansson and being like, oh man, that's a man playing, that's a man playing soccer after so much of the Josh Sargent confusion on the field that I've witnessed in the last 18 months. Okay, does that cover? Don't you have something you want to say about the midfield? I mean, you just want to see Ewell. You want to see the Ewell experiment played out, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna test this out, then let's throw him in there. Let's see if he can break lines and disorganize teams with those passes. And if he can't, and he's really struggling, like it feels like he is sort of clearly the player who's not quite at the level as everyone else. And again, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm wildly underestimating Ewell's abilities here, but we have to see if the one thing that he's supposed to be really good at, he can do at this level that makes these other guys, that's worthwhile for these other guys who are you know, playing in the Champions League later today.
Yeah, right. Are you checking, Pulisic on yet against Krasnodar?
I haven't seen an update yet. I know Kenny Seff started his game today. Yeah, Pulisic came on the 70th.
Okay.
Adams is not starting, but he's on the bench available, so that's nice. Okay. Is that good for center mids?
I believe so, yeah. And
I mean, just say, I think in this one, we're going to basically have two sort of pressing eights, and then I think the third center mid is going to be doing a lot of dropping back with the two center backs early on in the buildup.
Yeah. I know you want to see, you're sort of the scholar among us, and you want to see the Ewell experiment fully conducted, but I guess I'm ready to just say, like, hey, let's go straight to Adams at the six.
I wouldn't hate it, but he doesn't play. We don't need to rehash all the six versus what he actually is doing for Leipzig discussions.
He did it once in a cup game.
Right.
All right. Okay. Center backs, you go first.
All right. So I'm bringing five. That's what we settled on. I'm bringing John Brooks, and I guess I'm cheating when we get to the fullbacks, but John Brooks and Chris Richards. I'm bringing Mark McKenzie over from MLS, and then I'm bringing Miazga and Eric Palmer Brown.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't even think of EPB. But yeah, I think I would like to see him too. My list is Brooks, Miazga, Richards, McKenzie, and Aaron Long.
Okay.
And I know, you know, Walker Zimmerman is apparently playing well for Nashville. Aiko Parra is always sort of a name worth discussing. CCV has found a club in Bournemouth.
Haven't played yet, and I think Bournemouth played today as well.
Mm. And then Miles Robinson did not. I mean, I gotta be honest, I haven't watched a lot of Atlanta United, but Miles Robinson has not, as I understand it, had as good of a year this year as he did last year. EPB over Long would be fine with me. You know, keep it Euro
yeah,
based.
That's the thing. I don't think he's. I mean, I'm assuming Long is still Berhalter's number one right center back, but this is just knowing that he'll be around for the January camp. He'll be, I'm sure, like captain of that group. So, just test out a couple other guys that you're interested in.
Yeah. It would be. I guess I really just want to see Richards and McKenzie, and I throw EPB right into this group, get a chance to impress Berhalter, and then sort of, you know, work their way into the group. That would be really cool, because we eventually need an upgrade, and those are the three guys I think most likely to provide that at that position.
Yeah, and you have Miazga there because Miazga is very much a known quantity. I mean, he's such a, like, I feel like he's such a consistent guy. Like, everywhere he goes on loan, he goes to Anderlecht and plays in their very first game. Like, when he left France in the middle of the night and went to Reading, just like immediately jumped in with them the next day after arriving. He just seems like such a plug and play type player. So it's nice to have him there, sort of the measuring stick for these other guys to sort of test themselves against.
Yeah. He's also a big personality. I mean, there's the famous thing with Diego Lainez where he mocked him for being short and then like the sort of the ball grabbing episodes throughout his career. But I remember, if you'll indulge me for a second, I remember, the one time I covered a national team game, the Brazil friendly back in 2018, I guess it was, where we got beat 2-0 at MetLife Stadium in New York, in the mix zone afterwards, he was the one player who went through where you could tell he was like really engaged with the reporters who were talking to him. You know, he was engaged. He was sort of warm and, seemed like he was giving a real effort to give a meaningful answer to questions. And that's, I'm not saying it's bad not to do that. That's like, it's kind of in an athlete's best interest not to give meaningful answers to questions, if we're really honest. But I was impressed by that sort of in person. Like he seemed like a real mensch. And I know he has a reputation for being like this kind of like bad boy, but I think he just seemed like a dude who would be really good at a party, you know?
All right. Matt Miazga invited to the next Scuffed Mixer.
Yeah, pancakes on Saturday morning. Right back. Let's do right back. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. That's right. You're going first now.
Serginho Dest and Reggie Cannon are my picks. I think that's pretty self-evident at this point.
Wouldn't shock me if we end up with an extra fullback in DeAndre Yedlin there, almost as a way for Berhalter to just say, hey, buddy, we haven't forgot about you. But it just seems like Berhalter really rates Cannon. I don't know. That might be going too far and try to read Berhalter's mind, but that's just going from his comments, not necessarily his selections. Mm-hmm. I kind of just see that happening. I don't know. Maybe we're way off and Berhalter still says it's Dest and Yedlin first, but
no,
but I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, the other possibilities, distant though they may be, are Shaq Moore and Nick Lima. Moore would be cool to see again, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm really curious about Shaq Moore. My thing here is just with the timetable we're working on, as fun as it might be to see if Shaq Moore is a step up over Reggie Cannon or DeAndre Yedlin, like, that's not going to be how you use your time since all of those guys are backups to Serginho Dest. So, you know, we're going to have to save that Shaq Moore call up for the Gold Cup.
Timmy Chandler, also a possibility in this spot. I just had an extended back and forth with one of my key engagers on Twitter about this. I guess the reason Chandler doesn't break in for me is he... You know, he's not really a pure fullback anymore, and he's not really a pure winger. He scored some really nice goals in the spring for his club, but he's not, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, he's not really a possession style winger, and he's not a pure fullback anymore. So I'm leaving him off.
And he's not really playing either. He's sort of fallen off again. I think he's only made two starts since play resumed after COVID. So that's going back to like May for the Bundesliga. He's not playing very much. So he's kind of fallen back into that. I don't know if he's just sort of a leader role on the team in the clubhouse, but his minutes have fallen off pretty sharply again.
Okay. Left back, you go first.
All right, left back. This is the Anthony Robinson tryout. And I think that's, again, one of the key priorities of this window is to see if Anthony can fit well into what Berhalter's doing. His only other appearance for Berhalter was a subpar outing, but it was in a weird game where we trotted out like a three center back lineup against Jamaica prior to the Gold Cup, bunch of experimental names, and he was just incredibly uncomfortable playing as like a left winger with Georgi Mihailovic as his sort of connecting number 10. So I'm curious to see what he would look like with much better players in a more comfortable setup.
Okay. Yeah, same here. I think, you know, that this is every U.S. men's national team fan's dream. Dest on one wing, Dest at one fullback, Robinson at the other. We'll see. You know, it's like you said, it's a tryout for him. Tim Ream would be the backup for him.
So that's what I'm calling it because if Jordan Morris is going, you might want to have a stay-at-home left back. And because we don't really have any other left backs playing over in Europe at the moment, Gloucester's having a hard time getting into young PSV's lineups. And Kobe Hernandez-Foster, if we want to reach way down, is playing as a number 6 for Wolfsburg's U19s. So unless you're going to run Timmy Chandler out there on the left or Shaq Moore out there on the left, there just aren't a lot of options. And we're leaving all the MLS guys at home until January.
Right. So I'm going to call an audible for myself here. Since I'm not bringing Morris, I'm leaving him at home. I'm going to drop Ream from my left back spot and make it Shaq Moore.
He's going to Okay. I can't believe you got Moore into the lineup and I didn't.
Because really, I still think our best, probably our best lineup is Dest at left back and Cannon at right back. But it is worth definitely checking out Robinson at left back in this camp.
I don't know if I've done this on the podcast yet, but because I was on board with that variation as well, and I still think we'll see it, and we should. But Dest at left back and Cannon at right back, is that Cannon that's a stay-at-home right back, or is that Cannon getting up and down the sideline?
Well, it could be either. Okay. But if he, you're saying you can't do that with, you can't get your three at the back if you send them both up the sideline.
Well, and, you can find ways to do it, but I just feel like if you're having Cannon stay at home, and that might be to accommodate like Jordan Morris or Tim Weah as a right winger, you could do that and get all those pieces on the field for the attack. But then in the press, your front three that Berhalter's talked a lot about would become like Stryker, Pulisic, and Morris or Weah, and it drops Reyna out of the front three in the press and turns him into a ball chaser.
Okay. Yeah, you're playing 4D chess over there, and I'm...
It's just another one of those variables that you have to think about, the knock-on effects within one team. Because, again, people like to say, well, they do this for their club, and you have a lot of guys who are doing things for their clubs, but if you try to take all of those pieces and have them all do that for the national team, it doesn't all fit on the same lineup card.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. All right. Let's do goalkeepers and give them short shrift and then get out of here.
All right. Zach Steffen, Ethan Horvath, Matt Turner.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, Sean Johnson has a shout. Bill Hamid's always going to have some kind of shout. I think Brad Guzan his ship has sailed at this point.
I think it probably sailed a while ago, but again, with all of those guys, there is a certain floor that they set that is mostly fine. Haven't had a howler out of any of them. I feel like our last true howler would have been Horvath in 2017.
Yeah. Horvath, as most of you will know, started in Champions League and helped his team get a 2-1 win in St. Petersburg against Zenit. So that's pretty exciting for him, having not played for 18 months, I think.
I think it was 13, but 15. Then he also started their league match over the weekend because Mignolet was still out. He did pretty well. He had a couple of good saves in that game as well. Conceded on a penalty and a like defensive howler where a dude looked so wide open that it was instantly flagged as offside because it was obviously offside. But then in hindsight, there was like a weak side defender keeping him on. So it was just a guy able to collect the ball from 10 yards out all by himself and turn and slot it in past a stranded Horvath.
Did Bruges win or lose? Or
They lost 2-1. So okay. Horvath had a couple of good saves and very little, I'd say, that he could have done on either of the goals.
Okay. And as everyone knows, Matt Turner is the Gianluigi Buffon of American soccer. So got to bring him too. That's
his,
a joke.
His numbers haven't dropped. He hasn't regressed to any kind of I don't know if it wouldn't be as mean because he's just had excellent numbers for his entire MLS career, but he's maintained a half a goal per game average of shot stopping expected goals after the shot. Is that a good succinct way of putting it?
It works for me. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's clear like the data, the high end analytics are fans of Matt Turner. That's not me like questioning the analytics.
All right, there's our November roster.
Yeah, and so we're doing this right now, I guess we should say, because it's probably we're not sure the roster is going to come out before Election Day, which is Tuesday, of course. Maybe it'll come out on Sunday. In any case, the game is
November 12th.
Pulisic scored.
Oh, of course he did. Of course he did. Pulisic scored. Kenny Seff instrumental in Gdansk's game today. Like everything that we want out of the U.S. men's national team is that.
By the time we know who our next president is going to be in the United States of America, we'll have to be talking about what the lineup is going to be for that game, because we'll know who's in the roster. We'll react to the roster.
Even that is a pretty optimistic statement, Bells.
Oh, I don't know. Doomsday Velasquez over here.
All right, but there's our roster. I'm guessing we went 25 for 25. Can't wait to talk about how we're gonna come up with some 11s out of that group of 25.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be really fun to finally have a game to talk about. We're basically 2 weeks out from it. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Greg. We'll see ya.